had a wonderful time. These baptisms are so precious, aren't they? Just filled with emotion, I find. In a minute, I'm going to ask Smita to come and share the word with us. But I'm going to read the passage for this afternoon. And it's the passage is from Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Well, let's pray for Smita as she gets ready. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word comes to life in our hearts. It challenges us, it instructs us, guides us, and it brings us joy, Lord. And I thank you that as Smita has planned, as she's prepared, that your word has come to life in her. And I pray, Lord, for her that as she shares your word, that she will bring it in clarity, Lord, and bring to her remembrance all the things that you inspired her, Lord, with as she prepared. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Walter. Hello, everyone. Wasn't that amazing? Wasn't it lovely to see people take steps in discipleship and just rejoice with Celestina? Now, I know that I'm between you and the refreshments, so, but I do believe that the Lord has something to refresh us with, and I hope that we're really expectant. Amen? Okay. Oh, dear, what's happened? Okay. Sorry. Anyway, it's got a nice purple tinge to the presentation, but I hope you can still understand what I want to convey. So this passage contains an invitation. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It promises rest for your souls. But what does that mean? And what is Jesus promising? So Jesus says, come to me, to Jesus. Not to a religion, not to rules and regulations and rights and law keeping, not even to church necessarily. Jesus, when he gave the Sermon on the Mount, people came to listen, but then they went away. Their life wasn't changed. We can come to church and listen to the word, but it doesn't change us unless we come to Jesus. And if we come to him and we trust in him and we give our heart to him and we give our all to him and we leave behind the way of life that's making us weary and try it his way, that's what he's talking about. It involves a risk. It involves a step of faith. And the invitation is to all of us. No one is left off the invitation list. It's for everyone who's weary and heavy laden. I don't know if you've ever been somewhere where invitations are being handed out. I'm thinking school playground time, but and you're wondering whether you're going to get one or you're going to be left out. But this is for all. The invitation is for all of us who are weary and heavy laden. Now, I don't really use the word heavy laden when I'm describing how I feel. I don't say I'm feeling heavy laden today. I don't know if you do, but I might feel weighed down by life and responsibilities. I might feel stressed and overwhelmed and like I just can't take it anymore. Or as my son says, I'm done. But sometimes this is how we feel when we try to earn our way into heaven, when we try and strive continually to make ourselves acceptable to God, when we try and do it in our own strength, when we think that we have to present ourselves clean and cleaned up to Jesus. And Jesus was addressing in this passage the heavy burden, the yoke that the Pharisees laid on the people, lots of rules and regulations and rituals. And he was saying, I can take away this yoke. This is not what you need. This is not the way to God. In fact, it's impossible to even do all of this. But come to me. So what stops us? What stops us coming to Jesus in this state? Is it pride? Is it because we feel unworthy? We feel we've got ourselves in this mess, so maybe we need to sort it out ourselves. We don't deserve help. But we remember the story of the prodigal son, where the father has his outstretched arms and he's just ready to embrace you the way you are. Come with all the mess and I'll help clean you up. And the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to clean ourselves up before we came to God. In fact, it's impossible for us to clean ourselves up. Maybe we don't come to Jesus because we don't know where it will take us or what we're committing to. What if he asks us to do something or give up something and we're not willing to do it? Maybe we think we're worse off with Jesus, so we run to other things. We run to relationships and other people and addictions and idolatry and hope that those things might help. And Jeremiah 2:13 says, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot contain water. So they were kind of carving out ways of trying to fill that gap in us. As Celestina was saying, she was empty before she knew Jesus, and we try and fill that emptiness with different things and we don't come to him. But he says, if you come to me, I will give you rest. And Jesus can give us rest from trying to work our own way to God, which is impossible. Only repentance and faith leads to rest. And sometimes we think that if we do the right things, if we come to church every week, if we read our Bibles, if we try and live a good life, that all of those things mean we can come and present ourselves to God. But the Bible says that all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, that we come but we're standing in front of God and he's just seeing rags, he's just seeing filth. But Jesus is there and he wants to clothe us with his robes of righteousness. And he's in his priestly robes and he's ever living to make intercession for her. He's our high priest. And that's what he wants. And what he wants us to know is that because he was fully obedient and because he perfectly kept the law, that by faith we can receive that. We can receive his perfect obedience. We can exchange our sin for his righteousness. And only in repentance and rest will we be saved. And that's what he's saying here. I think last week David preached and told us about how to, you know, repent, and I think everybody repented after that. And so we need to repent and we need to be in rest. So when we rest, what do you think when we say the word rest, what comes to your mind? Is it vegging out in front of the TV, sitting on a beach, retirement, the weekend? That's not the kind of rest Jesus is talking about. It's not a physical rest from when you're tired. It's the rest in our inner place, in our emotions, that inner restlessness, that striving to feel fulfilled and content is what he's addressing. God rested on the seventh day after the work of creation. Was it because he was tired? He was exhausted from having created the earth? But maybe not. Maybe he looked and saw that it was good and he was fulfilled and satisfied with what he'd done. And maybe it's that coming into that contentment and fulfillment of our work in Jesus that is bringing us rest. We can be physically tired after a good day's work, but we can be at rest and content in the fact that it was a day worth it. It was work well done, productive, satisfying, fulfilling. And if the day hasn't gone like that, we can feel the disappointment and dissatisfaction of a wasted day, a day ill-spent. And God doesn't want us to have an ill-spent life. He wants us to be resting in the fact that our life was worth something. It had value. That's what he wants us to rest in. So, next slide. So the rest comes from being in relationship with God. It's not a set of rules. It's not a religion. We can't work our way to God. That's why Jesus came down. And in a sense, this scripture here where it says, no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And Jesus is saying, I know the Father, let me introduce you to him. You know, sometimes when we want to get to know someone and we realize someone we know knows them really well, we ask for an introduction because we know that's the quick way in. And Jesus is saying, I can make the Father known to you. If you come to me, I can bring you into relationship. Only a relationship with the living God is what is going to satisfy you. But even when we've made that commitment to follow Jesus, you know, we've given our lives to him, we've said, right, we're going to trust you, we're following you, why do we still not feel at rest? Why, if we're in relationship with him, why are we still dissatisfied? And the Bible says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So the way to come into that rest is to take a yoke upon you, his yoke upon you. Well, rest and a yoke doesn't seem very compatible. Rest and maybe a bed or an armchair, that seems more appropriate. But here we're talking about a yoke. And it's sort of like we have to combine what we're hearing, that promise, with faith to enter into that place of rest. We need to believe to enter that rest. We need to have faith to enter that rest. And when we come, this picture here, you can see these two oxen yoked together. And when a farmer wants to train a young ox to pull a plow, he doesn't put two strong, untrained oxen together in the same yoke, because if he did that, then when they would be really hard to control. They probably wouldn't move in a straight line, and you'd probably not end up with a very straight ploughed land. So what he does is he yokes an older, experienced ox with a younger one, and what that does is the younger one feels the authority of the older one and watches to see what he does. And because the older one has learned to be obedient to the master, the younger one also learns that obedience through that yoke. But also the older ox can carry more of the weight, can do more of the heavy lifting. And that's what Jesus is saying, come and be yoked to me, because then you will learn from me. And what will you learn from me? He says to be meek and humble-hearted, to have a humble heart. He's saying, learn of me, because I am meek and humble in heart. And why do we need to learn that? Because Jesus, who was Lord before the foundation of the earth, submitted his will to the Father and only did what he saw the Father doing. And he was fully human and did whatever he did, empowered by the Holy Spirit. He submitted to that. And in that, he found rest. He didn't have to go around proving who he was. He didn't have to say, look at me, this is who I am. He could rest in, even if people didn't worship him, didn't regard who he was, he could still rest. Sometimes we want praise and recognition and we don't rest because we're not getting that. And he's saying, learn of me to submit and be humble, because that's the way you will come into rest. And that's why earlier in the passage it says that this message is understood by infants, not the wise, not the ones who think that they have nothing to learn, that we have to be teachable. So we learn from Jesus how to be in rest while we work for God. And he says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And sometimes when we look at God's commandments, we think actually they're too burdensome. He's teaching us obedience to the Father. He's teaching us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us and forgive 70 times 7. And that feels burdensome. But actually he promises in 1 John 5:3 that this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. They're designed to take off the weight of pride and hate and unforgiveness. unforgiveness and anger and all the things that hold us back and load us up. He doesn't want us to live like that. And this verse came to me as I was preparing this from Jeremiah 6:16. It says, this is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. And it just got me thinking that that word ancient, it sort of means eternal, things that are not just of the present, things that people might have done a long time ago that has benefited generations after them, and things that we can do now that have eternal impact and value. And he's saying, choose the things, be led by the Spirit, choose the things that bring life and have eternal weight and value. I don't know if we run after these materialistic things. I don't know if you all got your Black Friday deals last week. And even if you got the latest gadget, it won't be the latest for long. It will be the next thing that you need and the next thing that you want to strive after. And King Solomon, who had everything, was the richest king around, kind of concluded that you toil and then you amass all this wealth and then you leave it to somebody who will probably squander it all, and actually everything's a chasing after the wind and everything's a bit meaningless and all is vanity. So he was saying that actually, why don't we pick the things to do that are that the Lord is leading us to, that we're being led by the Spirit, that have eternal value. And sometimes we're weary from things like, we're fighting the same temptations. We're fighting the same sins. We're coming to God to ask forgiveness for the same things over and over again. And it's wearing us down. And those are the things that God is saying, come to me, yoke yourself to me. Let me show you how to be obedient. Let me show you how to live that life where you come into that freedom and rest. And so my final thing to you is, will you accept that invitation? If you don't know Jesus, if you haven't come into that relationship, if you don't know the Father, ask Jesus to introduce you to the Father. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Thank him that he's done that on the cross. He's paid the price for your sins. He's paid the price for everything that you have ever done that was not his will. And you can have his righteousness by faith. He will put that robe of righteousness on you. And then if you already know the Lord, then make that commitment to take his yoke. Learn from him. Learn to be meek and humble. Learn to be obedient to the Father. Learn to remove the things from your life that are weighing you down. And learn to find rest for your souls.